Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Monocacy Church, the Brethren, this morning. It's a pleasure for me to be back and see so many familiar faces. It has been too long, but it is good to see everyone this morning. Does anyone have any announcements they would like to share? Yes.
The flowers you see in front of you are flowers I won yesterday from Oasis. They were WFRB was there. They were having free drawings and giving away gift cards. So those are the flowers I won. But those are only about half the flowers because when I picked them up, there was like this.
Oh, wow.
I was having a time trying to find a vase to fit them into, so I had to take them apart and rearrange them myself. I did the best I could, but this is not like my mother would do. She would do a lot better job than that. I had a mess in the kitchen yesterday. It's like, yeah, I want them, but it's like, so these are going to go to Ronnie after church.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. They do look wonderful. It's funny how you buy new flowers and you find you need another vase for them. You never seem to have the right vase, do you? Yes.
Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Bible study here, Chosen, Season 3, Episode 4.
Just a reminder for the Bible study Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, continuing in the Chosen, Season 3, you said Episode 4? Yes.
Okay, I see we're gathering quite a lot of school supplies, so I think next Sunday is the last Sunday, if I remember correctly, to get your supplies in. I think it is. But let's shoot for next Sunday to make sure. This was in my mailbox. It's from Piney Creek Church of the Brethren. It says, remember the past, celebrate the present, and grow the future. You are invited to Piney Creek Church of the Brethren to celebrate 125 years in ministry. Sunday, September 8th, 10:15 a.m. is morning worship. Anniversary lunch is at noon. And they'll have a 2 p.m. afternoon service. And then if you're planning to attend, I guess I'll post it back there, and maybe we'll keep track if anybody wants to go, and then I can let them know how many are attending if you feel like celebrating with them for their 125 years.
Sister Deb has shared that next week will be the final week for the school supply drive. We are getting quite a bit of donations, she mentioned in the back. Also, invitation she received from Piney Creek Church of the Brethren in Tawnytown. They are celebrating 125 years of ministry. So on September 8th, they will be having a celebration at the regular worship service at 10:15, a lunch at noon, then an afternoon service around 2 o'clock as well. She will be putting that invitation back there on the board. They are asking the RSVP if you would like to attend. Are there any other announcements? Seeing none, I will ask that you begin to quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
call to worship this morning can be found in the bulletin. Psalm chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I'll read that again. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with, the week that you have gotten us through, and now this time that we are here together in fellowship and worship, Lord. I pray that whatever we are bringing from our lives does not get in the way of our worship to you, Lord. Not just now, in this moment, in this sanctuary, but in our day-to-day lives. May we always call on you. May we always listen for you. May we always think to the teachings and the instruction that you have given us. Lord, we are here today, each of us with our own life that has its own hardships and trials, Lord. We lay those at your feet as we remember all the blessings that you give us. Lord, I pray that we hold on to those and dwell on your goodness. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You will stand as you're able for our first hymn, number 330. There is power in the blood. You may be seated. Meditation for the call to giving this morning. You will also find in the bulletin Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today. As our hearts prepare to give, think about those verses. So often we think of our offering, our tithe, as, God, I'm giving you this. I have abundantly established this. I have pulled this together. Here you are, Lord. But in reality, God, you have blessed me with so much. You have given to me. You have strengthened me. You have made me wise. You have given me the opportunities to have everything that I have around me. So, Lord, I take just a portion of what you have made possible for me to have, and I give that back to you in full gratitude of everything you have done in my life. Sorry, it's been a while. Do I call the ushers forward, or?
No, we have an offering box in the back.
Now. Offering box in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot to mention.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. And ask that you take and multiply and grow so that others may be equipped as we have been equipped. So that others may have their eyes open to your blessings, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've come to a time sharing our joys, our prayer concerns. Where we're at, right? Okay. Looking to you for help, Jerry. Does anyone have any joys or prayer concerns they like lifting up, or just any way that God has moved in their life? Yes. A prayer for the men and women in active duty and service. Yes.
Ron and Nancy Anders. Yes. Prayers.
Yes, we'll be keeping Ron and Nancy in prayers. Yes.
Just safe travels for my family that's going back to Tennessee. They may even already be close home since they left at 4:30 this morning. And traveling mercies for Faye and their families. I know some of them traveled to the cabin in West Virginia and are coming back. So, and I have an unspoken request.
Sister Deb is asking for prayers for safe travels for her family who left this morning back for Tennessee, as well as Faye is traveling as well, and she does have an unspoken that the Lord knows. Yes.
I'm going to put Alan Heflin's family on the prayer list. Yesterday he lost his wife Yvonne, so it's helping in their grievance.
Yes.
I'd just like to thank the through the whole day and into about midnight or so, we were down and accumulation at our house, we had 3.5 inches, so I think we'll be well blessed in that area. And it just needed that for the crops and for the gardens and everything that we need to energize our bodies and the population, but also the grateful for the beautiful days where he took out some of the humidity and let us enjoy the pleasant temperature. And thank God, too, for your presence here today, and Maria and Izzy, and we just appreciate you guys always, and thank you for your service to us and your service to the good Lord.
Thank you, Bob. Yes.
I want to keep me and Kathy on the prayer list, and also just be with anybody in the church that's having physical ailments or medical problems.
So we'll be keeping you in prayer, yes.
I'll continue Travis on the prayer list and the whole family and everybody else too that's spelling and illness.
You said Travis?
Travis, yes. Yeah.
Also, let's remember to keep Brother Sam and Sister Jackie. He's still dealing with his lack of voice, shall we say, and Jackie's recovering from her knee surgery. And before I forget, if anybody would like to do a meal for them, please let me know.
Brother Sam's voice is still recovering, and lifting up Jackie as well as she recovers. And Sister Deb has mentioned if anyone wants to do a meal for them, just to let her know, and she will help arrange that. Yes.
Yeah, continue to keep my wife on our prayer list. And also, we want to pray for peace and harmony over around Israel and Israel's country and so forth. The whole world needs to come together in love and faith and compassion. So we need to keep that in our prayers.
Yes.
Yes, I do have a joy. I had to go back to my heart doctor this week for my test results, and everything came back great. When I left the hospital, I had 25% of my heart usage. It is now back to full capacity. They were very, very pleased. So I thank everybody for prayers for that and on my behalf. And also, I do have some unspoken requests that God knows who they are.
So, Jerry's heart is back to the full ticks. It's not beating 1 out of 4, now it's 4 out of 4. Sounds good to go. Any others? All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are humbly before your throne of grace, humbly before you who knows our lives so well and every struggle that we go through. We continue to lift up Ron and Nancy into your arms. We lift up Deb as her heart reaches out with an unspoken concern, but Lord, her heart has spoken to you. We continue to lift up Travis, and Brother Sam, and Jackie, and Pat, just this whole church family, Lord. The bond your Holy Spirit has created is such a uniting force. As we see this body lifting one another up, standing in and helping where help is needed, loving where love is needed. We lift up Deb's family as they are traveling. And we lift up all the family members who are serving in the military. Lord, pray for their protection. All of these servicemen and women, Lord. Not just their protection, but then in the midst of the violence and the pressure and the stress, that they cling to you and do not lose sight of you. Lord, may their eyes, their hearts, their ears be open to the messengers that you send in their paths and everyone's path, Lord. In this day and age, Lord, where you are mocked so openly, may your people have the courage to stand firm in faith. Shining a light from within, so the people will see your good works in us and begin to glorify your name. Glorify the name that has given providence through the weather. At times when it may seem dry, when we may not seem to have enough rain, or we may have too much rain, or we may have too much snow, or too much wind, whatever may seem too much. In the end, it is what you have decreed. It is what you have willed. And by your will, you have provided and cared for us. Cared for us so deeply. As you have cared for Jerry with his recovery, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, in the midst of the praise, our hearts do ache. We lift up the Heflin family with the passing of Yvonne. May they feel your comfort. May they be at peace, Lord. As we lift up Israel, Lord, this is nothing that we are not expecting to happen once we read your word, but Lord, it is painful to see, it is painful to hear, it is painful to know, Lord. I pray in the midst of all of this that you be glorified. Because we know you are sovereign, we know you reign supreme, Lord. May the world see that. May the world know that. May the world feel and encounter you in a way that it only can because of Jesus. It is in his name we pray these words that he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. scripture this morning comes from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It's in the bulletin if you wish to follow along. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I think many of us have heard that last verse quite a few times. But we'll get back to this. I'm going to start with asking if I asked you what were the 10 do nots of the Bible, what would come to your mind? Not the list specifically, but the heading for that list. What comes to your mind when you think of 10 do nots of the Bible? The 10 commandments. Do not X, Y, and Z. Well, let's think about what God is really saying when he had Moses bring forth those 10 commandments as we know them. You know, he started. Go to Exodus 20. Verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So do not have other gods before me. Do not make any idols. But verse 1 says God spoke all these words. Now if you fast forward a little bit in the Exodus 34, when this is reminded in verse 28, he was there with the Lord, being Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. That being where we really get that word commandments. But if you look in Exodus 20 and Exodus 34, you say, okay, God spoke all these words. He had Moses write on the tablet the words, the covenant, the 10 commandments. If you really look into and study that, you see the Hebrew word dabar is what's used here. D-A-B-R with a little carrot top over top of the two A's. And if you really get into the language, that word is best understood as a caused effect of an action. So if you look at reading it that way, how it was given forth in Hebrew, because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you will not have any other gods before me. You will not make any idols. You will not take my name in vain. You will remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's not necessarily the negative. You do not do these things, but because of who I am to you, you're not going to do these things. Because of who I am, these actions will follow. It becomes a command that is now obedience. Becomes obedience. And that is something the Lord truly loves. If you go to the story of King Saul and King David, as the people of Israel had demanded a king, they demanded the king. God advised them, no, you don't want this. I know everyone else has one. You don't want this. They demand anyway. Saul gets called as king. And God had told Saul, okay, you're going to go, you're going to conquer this area of people, and this is what you must do. Don't kill, don't slaughter, don't burn, keep it all. Well, Saul thought he knew what he was doing was right. He's like, okay, I'm going to offer these sacrifices. I'm going to divide some spoils up here. The Lord wants sacrifices, so that's what I'm going to offer him. I'm thankful for this. But when the prophet Samuel comes onto the scene, he said in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. This is a passage that many believers, Christians, do struggle with. Okay, Saul was trying to do the right thing here. Saul thought he knew what was right. He's offering a sacrifice to God out of gratitude for this. The prophet was supposed to come, but Samuel, the prophet, was running late. So he's like, okay, I think I know what to do. And the response from God is, I'm rejecting you as king. Like, yes, you did what you thought was right, but guess what? That's not what I wanted. I wanted your obedience, Saul. That is what I asked for. That is what I asked for. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience, looking back at Exodus, because I am God who brought you out of Egypt. Saul, because I am the Lord who enables you to get in this position of kingship. I could have easily shut down the Israelites on this notion of them wanting a king, but you were the one who I allowed to be called in this position. I am sovereign over it all, Saul. Because of that, you should obey me. Follow my words, but you have not. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. But then you may ask, and here's where a little bit of the conflict comes in. What if we get into Romans chapter 12? A verse I quote so many times, I find myself going back to time and time again. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Well, which is it? God asks for obedience, says that that is better than sacrifice, but here we have in the New Testament that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Which one is it? Is this one of those where, oh, the New Testament now replaces the Old Testament? No, not by any means. The New never replaces the Old. It is all together. Jesus fulfilled the law. But to be a living sacrifice is that full and total dedication. Obedience to the highest. That my life is fully devoted to you, Lord. But what does that look like? What does that look like? This is where we go back to Micah. Micah 6:6-8. So God, if I want to be this living sacrifice, if I want to be fully obedient to you, how shall I come before you? Do I need to bow myself before you, God, on high? Do I come before you with the burnt offerings? Do I come before you with calves a year old? Do I come to you with the best that I have made with my hands? Will you be pleased with thousands of rams if I gave you everything that I had earned? If I gave that all to you, 10, 15, 20 years of labor, I give all the fruit of that to you. Shall I give up my children for you? No. The Lord says, what do I require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You see, the obedience of the heart has these outward, inward, and upward shifts as the way of life is changed. You see, to do justice, to act justly, is to have a concern for peace and genuine respect of people. Let's look at Romans 13, verses 7 through 10. Pay to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. God is calling you to love. That is that outward shift. It's an outward shift of your heart. Think about how hard it is to love people. Really think about what the genuine word for love really is. And how hard that is to do. When's the last time you felt love for that credit card collector that gave you that call? When's the last time you had love for that person? You're not happy with them, but guess what? You're the one who didn't pay the bill. We read here, pay to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. And then it goes on, respect to whom respect is due. Well, whom is due respect? Is it just your family member, your person sitting beside you in church? Maybe it's not the person sitting beside you in church because they upset you last week. It happens in the family all the time. But every single person you encounter is someone who God loves in spite of sin, not loving them in the sin, loving them in spite of the sin, for Jesus to pay the price for their sin on the cross. So the next time you fail to love someone, the next time you display anything other than love to a person, a genuine compassion and care and respect for them, you have just rejected that compassion, care, and love to someone that could be sitting beside you at the table in heaven. Even if they're not going to church now. I know a man who found and encountered Christ, found his faith, encountered Christ at 70 years of age. His whole life spent rejecting Christ and came to Christ at 70. And now faithfully living it out. Who in your life have you struggled to love and respect? Might be that one sitting beside you at the table. That outward shift. Now the inward shift. To love kindness. To love mercy. To love those that many would say are undeserving of love. It's what Jesus had to say about mercy. I say to you that listen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. I think that's a verse many of us have struggled with quite a few times, to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Especially in today's day and age, with the mockery of the Christian faith. When's the last time that you saw read a news article or saw a news video about someone openly mocking the faith? And you felt called to lift them in prayer. That you felt led to say, God, I don't know where they have been hurt in their life. I don't know what they struggle with. I don't know what is attacking them daily. But Lord, this is someone that I could be seated beside at the table. I don't know your plan, God, to bring them closer to you. But I pray for them. When is the last time that you chose not to harbor that hate from the inside? You chose to uplift them. There's a man I know who's a few years younger than me. On the verge of dealing with a pretty wild custody battle. And so many accusations have been thrown against him. Every time one doesn't stick, another one gets thrown at him. In this fight where his ex is trying to remove him from his child's life. And we have had some faith conversations in the past. And he's working there. And he has expressed that he really feels God's presence in the midst of all of this. He's so new to the faith, he doesn't even know what it means to be saved. He hasn't fully grasped that yet. He's really trying to, okay, what does all this really mean? I hear the word being thrown about. I just don't fully get it yet. This is how new he is to it. And the question he asked me last time I saw him the other day, he said, how, I've heard this word forgiveness thrown around. How do I forgive her? I had to take a step back. For someone who's so new, encountering the presence of God, to already be ready, how can I forgive her? Talk about a heart shift from what everything the world tells us to do. You think about society would tell him, throw everything at her that she's throwing at you. He's like, no, how do I forgive her? Well, step one, when you're praying to God, as you've expressed during this time, you finally found yourself praying, start praying for her. Start praying for her. You know, this inward shift in our heart from obedience to God should cause you to realize, you know what? Jesus died for me, even though I am undeserving. This person is undeserving of love, of grace. But I'm not going to harbor it against them. I will uplift. And even if it's not much, God, I'm going to give them as much love as I can. It's going to hurt, but I'm going to do as much as I can. As I proceed forth to the upward shift of the heart, to walk humbly with God, to live fully committed to God in word and deed. You see, humility happens when we realize that there is nothing at all that we can give to God that He is in any type of need of. But yet He gives everything to us. So we choose to follow Him in full reverence and adoration. God, no matter what I sacrifice, no matter what I give up to You, Lord, no matter what I throw on the offering plate, I know You don't need it. And no matter what I give, even if it's everything You have provided me with, can never earn or justify Your love. But You love me anyway in the midst of all I have failed to do for You. In all of my shortcomings. God, I am just me, but You are God. I am not sovereign. You are sovereign God. As much as I've tried controlling my life, I've realized I have no control. That no matter how much I try to make things happen the right way, it is You and You alone who brings everything together. So when I say, God, I am humbly before Your feet, God, I am before you, knowing that you are God, and I am just me. I am Dylan and nothing more. It is all because of you. And there, with that true humility, that is when all those other pieces really start falling into place. You can start making the outward shift. You can start making the inward shift. But not until your heart makes that upward shift in obedience with that full commitment to God in word and deed. Realizing who He is, that He is the God sovereign over all. Until that point, you cannot make the full outward or inward shift. Once that happens, it comes together. Once you can say, God, you were the one with me through the divorce, the job shift, the accident, the fire, the medical bills. God, you were the one with me through the death of my parent, the death of my spouse, the death of my child. You were the one with me. So I will worship you and you alone. So I will follow you with all that I have. So I will do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. Here is my will, God. Please make it your own. Let us pray. God, before you we come. Just with ourselves, we can step forward and we can speak and we can do many things, Lord. But without you, we can make a mess. Without you, we bring pain, we bring heartache, division. Without you, we feel empty. Without you, we hurt. Lord, may we always call on you and trust in you. You bring peace. You bring healing. You bring love. You nurture us back to health. You provide and you care for us. Lord, you equip us in ways that we can never hope to achieve on our own. May all of our eyes be open to what you have done. May we hold on to you, knowing you are sovereign. May we live fully committed to you in word and deed. May we have full reverence and adoration to you, God, so that we can truly walk humbly with you. Love mercy and do justice. We cannot do this on our own. Guide our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You will stand as you're able for hymn 323. Standing on the Promises. So may we go from here in peace, living out justice as God has lived that out through His Son Jesus. Living out mercy as God has lived that out through Jesus. And walking humbly as Jesus did, fully committed to the Father's word. May we do the same to all we encounter, so they may see the goodness of God in us. Amen.